Jesus, you're here. Jesus, you're here. All things are possible now that you're here. Jesus, you're here. Jesus, you're here. And all things are possible now that you're here. Amen.
Let's just bow our heads in prayer.
Dear gracious Father, we thank you, Lord, for this privilege to assemble together in your name. We ask you, Father, to be with us, Lord, as we give you all the praise and glory in Jesus Christ's name. You may be seated.
It's very good to be home. It's been a long trip. And what I would like to do this morning before we begin our sermon is to show you a film which was made by the brethren in Congo. And the film is actually of the, if you all recall, the horizontal rainbow, which came down over the meetings in Mabanza Ngungu in September 2007. I tell you, when I saw this rainbow and the significance of it, I just wept, because realizing that the same rainbow appeared to Brother Branham, it wasn't just a single rainbow. I didn't know that for the last 3 years. I just thought it was a horizontal rainbow came down. But actually, I have a film here that was made of several of the witnesses that were there, and it was three rainbows. And if you call Brother Branham in the Message of Grace, he speaks about how when he had been out to go squirrel hunting on the one-year anniversary of the three squirrels being spoken into existence, he said after a prayer, he opened his eyes and here was three rainbows, one on the right, one on the left, and one in the center. That came up out of the hill, and he said that they melted together and they formed a bowl shape or a cup. Anyway, then he said there was something stirred within him and said, Jehovah of the Old Testament is Jesus of the New. He just changed his form or his mask from spirit into a man. And so this is the same thing. And then Brother Brown said, I believe that rainbow was a witness that God was confirming what I'd been preaching for 31 years was the truth. And the same thing happened when we were there. I didn't see it, but just as Brother Branham, when the cloud came down, the one we have up here in the picture, Brother Branham said it was either 2 days before or after I was there. He said, I didn't see it. I wasn't aware of it. But he said, that's the same cloud that I saw in the vision months before. And anyway, so I wasn't aware of what was going on. I knew something was going on, but I was not aware. And certainly for the last 3 years, I was not aware that it was the same three rainbows that appeared to Brother Branham, in which he called them the pillar of fire in one place, and also the people there, you'll find. So I'm going to just play the film and then read some quotes from Brother Branham about the God's covenant rainbow. So if we can, I'm just going to bear with me, because the film is actually in French, and I've got the voice overlaid of Brother Billy. You all know Brother Billy. He was with us for several months, and in English, so I'm going to try to get them to sync together.
De l'apparition mystérieuse de trois arc-en-ciel. C'était le 12 septembre 2007 entre Montsorel.
It was the 12 September at almost at 11 in Banzanzongo. This appeared in international convention. It's gathered 60 pastors from the whole world, from New Zealand, from Sweden, Uganda, and many provinces from DRC. As we share this testimony with you, we believe that it's going to strengthen your faith in God. May God grant you His richest blessing.
Événements
The event on the rowing boats was first seen by the sisters above the place where they cooked for the ministers. The morning of the 3rd of September, we're cooking outside, not far from here. It's about 11. As we're cooking, something was just leading me to look above. All of a sudden, I saw a rainbow. It was horizontal. Then I shouted, "Come and see the pillar of fire." Then all the brothers outside and also the sisters were cooking came out. And we started shouting, "Pillar of fire." Others said, "A rainbow." As the sister had just testified, she was the first one to notice that event. As we were cooking, when the sister went out, she said, "Come and see the rainbow." And I said, "How can you have a rainbow in dry season? That's unbelievable." Then she said, "Pillar of fire." Then that drew our attention, and we looked above. And we saw that it appeared in three shapes, forms. One was like this. The other one, above, and like this. The other one was like this, horizontally. And the last one, it surrounded the sun. A cameraman also took pictures of the event. My name is Milan Kindombe. I'm a cameraman. This is my job. I'm not a member of this church. I'm a Baptist at Hill Oaks. They hired me to take the pictures and they paid my money. And when I was taking pictures, and they called me outside to watch an event which is happening. Then outside I saw a sign in the form of a rainbow. It was first one. I took a picture of it, and then I wanted to come back in, and we started talking with the sister as they were cooking. Another one came out. I turned on the camera again, and I took pictures of it. And then a third one appeared. It was not like a rainbow, but for me it was the first time to see a rainbow like that. The first rainbow was horizontal. The second one was in the form of an arc. And the third one, it was a circle. It surrounded the sun. A usher went round and announced it to the meeting where Brother Brian was preaching. The rainbow, it was the first one. Then the second one. I tried to watch it until it was first two. Then I saw the third rainbow. And all the three melted and became one. It came from the direction here to the church. And I was curious. I said, "Let me go and tell the brothers in the meeting, the pastor, because there's an event outside." I gave you the testimony of Brother Branham, who saw the appearing of the rainbows and how he deal with it. Even in our testimony, we speak about the forms, the shapes, horizontal, and so on. If you read the book, I know, we see that Brother Brown speak also of a horizontal rainbow. It was not isolated event, a hazard, but it was, we know that it was God. And we know that Brother Brown was a spiritual man. He did not neglect things. everything coming in front of him, he was taken into consideration. Similar events appeared in the life of William Branham in 1963, where three rainbows appeared in the sky and they merged into one, and a voice came out of it, which was a vindication of the cat's head.
Pendant quelques instants, c'est la bénédiction du sommet de la montagne. Et j'ai observé les trois, un à droite, un à gauche, un au milieu, tenir et former un vol. Peu importe ce que c'était, c'était vivant. Il a fait des placés, il faisait des mouvements, et je suis resté là comme il faisait son. Je me suis resté encore et j'ai crié, oh Dieu, je vais te faire connaître aux serviteurs. Juste à ce moment-là, l'Esprit du Seigneur vint et dit, je lui ai dit du Nouveau Testament et Jéhovah de l'Ancien Testament. Il a simplement changé son âme. Il a écrit à l'homme. Elle a bien entendu confirmer mon message à son sujet. Elle m'a révélé, elle m'a rassuré que ses 31 ans de ministère n'avaient pas été en vain.
Paragraph 37 of the message of grace, he said, Brother Brown disagreed with Unitarian, who believe that Jesus was his own father. He also opposes to Trinitarian, who say that there are three gods. The rainbows moved from the place where the sister was cooking and went and settled above the tabernacle where Brother Brian was teaching about the Godhead. Some pastors went out to see the event. Those in the street and also the neighbors also watched the event. These are some facts you must keep in mind. These three rainbows appear in the dry seasons. It was during Brother Brian Kukulik was teaching on the doctrine, the Godhead of the presence of Jesus Christ, and they were closer to the tabernacle. They moved visibly from precise places, from the place where the sisters cooking up to the tabernacle where doctrine was being taught.
Now that we've seen the film showing the three rainbows that came down while I was teaching the doctrine of Christ in Africa, I'd like to take a subject of the rainbow covenant this morning. But before I do, if we could just bow our heads in a word of prayer. And before we do, let me just read from the super sign. Brother Ram said, you know what? A rainbow makes a covenant. So we're looking at something special about a covenant. So let's bow our heads in prayer if we might. Let us pray. Dear gracious and loving Father, we come to Thee this morning under the shed blood of Your Son, our eldest brother in this vast family of brothers, and we ask that You would help us to not only confess what You're doing in this hour, but help us also to walk in the light in all humility and reverence, seeing that this light that we're walking in, that we're walking alongside of Thee, dear Father, in the form of the Holy Ghost. For we know that if we walk in the light as You are in the light, that the blood of your Son, Jesus Christ, will be efficacious to us in this hour. And knowing as we walk in the light as of thy glorious presence, we're having fellowship with you around your living word. You promised us through your vindicated prophet for this hour that you would lead us into the millennium via that great pillar of fire, which lets us know where your great Shekinah presence is. And we know that your pillar of fire will lead us into the millennium because we have thus saith the Lord that it will. We have heard it, but now we have seen it with our own eyes. And we have seen your pillar of fire in the form of a threefold horizontal rainbow, showing us that you're still moving among us and leading us by your vindicated word, which you gave us through your prophet William Branham, whom you vindicated by your personal presence with him. We have believed thy great presence was still with us because of thy word and thy word alone, as it was promised that you would lead us via that great pillar of fire which shows forth thy great Shekinah presence. But now we have also seen your presence in our midst. When you came to your prophet William Branham in the form of three rainbows coming together as one in the shape of a bowl or cup, we accepted his word for it, not having seen it with ourselves, but believing that you had vindicated him, and thus we believed him. And therefore we have thus believed by faith. But you also taught us in your word, and we have honestly known that we no longer wait for the promise, because why would we yet wait for that which we have seen? But now we have both seen and heard, and therefore our hope has become a reality that you are indeed still in our midst. For we have seen thy great presence in the same form and shape of the horizontal rainbow that your prophet saw, and you came down to verify what he taught is the same revelation of Jesus Christ as what was declared by him has been declared by us, for you are not a respecter of persons. We see that you're a great witness among us, for we know that your three speaks of a witness, and we have now seen on film that witness of three, wherein you came down over the church in Mabanza and Ugungu and verified that what we have been speaking in the name, your name, Father, is the same word that you've indicated your prophet for, and is the same revelation of Jesus Christ that your prophet spoke. And your presence was with him, and your presence is with us. And as you've shown to us, Father, in such a supernatural way, and you have confirmed this great revelation of Jesus Christ to us to be the same as what you have spoken by your prophet, because you verified his message in the same way as you have done so in Africa. Thank you, Father, for allowing others to see that which only your prophet saw before us. And thank you, Father, for confirming to us that you indeed are the one who is leading us into the millennium. Now, Father, we have both heard and seen with our eyes that same threefold manifestation of your glorious presence among us. And we can rejoice knowing that not only have we heard a vindicated prophet tell us that the same pillar of fire would lead us into the millennium, is the same pillar of fire that led the children of Israel, but we have seen with our own eyes. Then grant it to us, your favor, Father, and hear our prayers, and help us also enter into that blessed covenant of sons that you made with your firstborn son, for we ask it humbly in Jesus Christ's name, your firstborn and eldest, and our eldest brother. Amen. Amen. From the message of grace, Brother Branham said, now last year, all of you know, which is on print and also in testimony and in the tapes, I was sitting at a place here in Indiana where the Lord God came down and spoke to me that my second ministry that was ready to take place in the near future. Now he's talking about the spoken word ministry or the third pole. And there was spoken into existence three squirrels. All of you know that story, I'm sure. Somehow going up the road, while I let the rest of the boys off going hunting, I had a strange feeling to go to this place again. It was before daylight, raining, and I didn't even know whether I'd get to hunt or not, but that I would get over in the field there. Hunting means to get alone to yourself to pray. And I stopped the car and got off and walked across the field and went over into the bush. And just before it would have been daylight, kind of gray dawn, I'd stopped and had offered a little word of prayer as usual and telling Father that just what I had need of to provide it. I don't believe in wasting anything or destroying. Never shot a bird in my life for a target practice or anything else. What I hunt, I eat and give to someone else that does eat it. I don't believe in wasting anything. I don't believe in doing those things because it's not right. Then as I turned and started along a familiar little pathway by the side of the pasture that crossed over to an L shape in the woods, and something strange took place. In all my experiences, I've never had anything like that. I looked at the top of the hill to my left from where I was standing, and there coming up out of the top of the hill came three rainbows, and they were running some 30 foot high. First I looked and seen the light, and I just turned back because I thought it might be the sun rising. On the second thought, it wasn't towards the sun, it was towards the south. And another thing, it was smooth, cloudy, raining all over. That was August the 25th, last Friday morning, and you all know how it was raining, and it's smooth clouds everywhere. And I looked again, and there it was, growing taller and taller, three rainbows. And I took off my hat, I set down my gun, I started walking towards it with my hands up. Something just seemed to tell me, this is close enough. I was going to sit down and take my boots off that I had on to see if I could walk a little closer. But I got within a few yards of it, and I seen the color of it misting like a fog moving around. I stood still for a few moments. It was coming right out of the top of the little mountain, and I watched as the three, one to the right, one to the left, and one in the center, running down into one bowl-like. Ever what it was alive. It was moving and making its motions, and I stood there just as it was graying dawn. And I turned and I looked again, and I screamed out, "Oh God, what would you have your servant to know?" Just then the Spirit of the Lord came in and said, "Jesus of the New Testament is Jehovah of the Old. He only changed his mask from spirit to man." That was confirming, of course, my message of him, letting me know assuredly that these 31 years hasn't been in vain. As I started to approach, it began to go away and went down into the bowl-like affair and then disappeared. I walked up close. I was afraid to go any closer because he stopped me before I got there. I turned and noticed that the light, the way it was shining for me, was just exactly in line with the tree where I sat last year, where the squirrels appeared. Some 35 or 40 minutes later, I went down through the woods and over the creek bottom and so forth till I got to this tree that separates in four directions, east, north, west, and south, four prongs of the tree running out. And I climbed into this prong and sat down where I was when he told me of the scripture, "If you say to this mountain, be moved." And as I stood there a little bit, not thinking yet of the rainbow, it had left my mind, I stood there, and this has been a very bad year for squirrel hunting. Everything is late, no squirrels. I thought, right here is where God gave me them squirrels last year to speak into existence. I took off my hat again, and I said, "Lord God, you are still the same God. You are still the same Jesus. You are still God." And something said to me, "How many do you need this time?" And I said, just as I did the other time, "The limit." And then I said, "I shall have this limit before 10 o'clock today." And strange as it seems, just then I was in a very bad mosquito area where it was invested with mosquitoes and kind of a swampland. And a great big mosquito come to bite me right on my eye. And I said, "Not one of them will bother me this day. And no repellent or anything with me." And before I knew it, I said, "The sun will shine within 30 minutes. And no more than I said that, till just behind me, a squirrel exactly like the one last year, young, red, jumped out of the limb about 70 yards away and began barking. I turned around at those distances. I could barely, through the powerful scope, see his eye. Just shot, that's all. I didn't even have an aim at just no more than over the squirrel. And the bullet was just exactly smack at the eye where it was the other time. On down through the woods I went, and at exactly 3 minutes of 10 o'clock, I shot my third squirrel, just like it was last year, just exactly the same, at 3 minutes before 10. God being my solemn judge, not one mosquito even buzzed all day long, right where there's just tons of them, I suppose, if you could weigh them out. And I never even seen or heard one. I was listening for them to see if I could. And I heard a humming, and I thought, well, there's one somewhere. And I listened, and it was a truck way back up on the highway. And exactly 30 minutes from that time, the sun shone out good and bright. Then I come back to the place, and I'd been thinking when I said limit. And that meant five squirrels, which is the limit in Indiana. But I remember last year when he asked me how many did it take for me a mess, and I said three. And I just got the three. So yesterday I went back, was going to the same place again. And something said, "Do not go across the road." And at exactly 10 o'clock on the exact dot, 10 o'clock with my watch, I shot the Indiana limit, the fifth squirrel. I want you to notice there was three rainbows, and there was three things said, three squirrels gotten. There was three things, three squirrels by 10 o'clock, no mosquitoes. The sun would shine in 30 minutes, and there were three to give witness of it. Brother Banks Woods, my son Billy Paul, and his son David, to give witness of it. from paragraph 37 of the same message, the message of grace. He says, I thought of the grace of God, how that he could do that, save to the uttermost, and then would take a poor wretch like myself and give me the opportunity to preach the gospel and to see others saved, see them healed, see homes that's been broken up, straightened up again, see lives that's been ruined, made right again. And to give me grace, I thought, oh, it's amazing grace. Then come to a degraded, low squirrel hunter out into the woods and form himself in the form of a rainbow, which means a covenant, with a message that he give me to preach, and formed it there in a covenant that he's behind it. He'll be behind it, because the message is Jesus Christ and his glory. And from paragraph 93 of the same message, we pray now that you'll keep them through life. May they, everyone, be baptized, calling upon the name of the Lord, washing away their sins. Grant it, Lord. Now I present them to you as your servant, believing that the great angel of God who appeared down there, and Father, you know all that story, and that great angel that appeared there this Friday morning, just at the gray of dawn, spoke these words in the form of three rainbows coming up from the top of the mountain. Lord God, let that God who appeared to me there in the rainbows, let him save this people by his grace just now. I give them to you in expectation of you keeping your word, and you will. And I'll meet them on the great day without a spot or wrinkle in their soul. Grant it in Jesus' name. I give them to you. Amen. Now we see then by Brother Branham's own testimony that the three rainbows were a witness to what he was preaching for those 31 years to be the truth. And I'd like to read also from Let Your Light So Shine Before Men. Brother Branham said, when I go into the mountain change, it isn't so much going up there for to go hunting. I'm going there to get alone with God. And some of you, if you'll notice, my greatest experience I have is when I'm out hunting, when I meet God. Out of all my experiences, I never had one like I had the other morning, right up here going squirrel hunting. I've seen many things in my life, signs and wonders and so forth, but that struck me stranger than anything that I've ever had. Yet imagine now, just about the time of the break of day, raining, solid, cloudy all over, see standing in front of me, rising up from like a cup, setting up on the hill, setting there, three rainbows rising higher and higher until you were so numb all over till you could hardly speak. Then walk close to it and hear him speak and confirm the message, the very message that you're preaching to be the truth. Well, I've always been a firm believer that if we go to God with a, you know, if we see something in the Scripture and we have the same circumstances that somebody in the Scripture had, and if they go to God for that thing to be met and they pray to God, then if we go with the same, if we have the same circumstances and we go to the same God with the same request, God is duty bound to answer our prayer because he's not a respecter of persons. I believe with all my heart, and it just breaks me up. I feel like weeping when I even think about the fact that, you know, who am I? But yet I'm preaching the same thing that Brother Branham preached, and God himself came down and vindicated. Yeah, I say vindicated because that's what it is. God vindicated that what I'm teaching is the same message that the prophet taught by his very presence. Because if the three rainbows came and Brother Branham said, that's a verification, that's a vindication that what I've been teaching is the truth, then the same God who did the same thing over there in Mabanza Nagungu is the same God confirming the same message. He wouldn't confirm a different message. He's confirming the same message to be the truth. And just it really humbles me to recognize that the same pillar of fire who's leading us to the millennium. You know, there's a time when we just had to take it by we had to take Brother Branham by his own word. Nobody else saw the three rainbows but him. And we believed it because we believe he's vindicated. But now we have witnesses, many, many witnesses, of those three rainbows coming together to form a bowl shape like Brother Branham described it, a cup or a bowl shape, and then the third one coming down and sealing it and making it completely around the sun. You know, in Revelation 10, chapter 10, verse 1, I've got a book back here. It's got 26 different translations in it, English translations of the Bible. And many of them say, some of them say, the rainbow was above his head. And of course, we know that the pillar of fire will be above the Lamb, and then and we know that the rainbow or the covenant there is the covenant angel. Brother Brown said the angel of the covenant, that one in Revelation 10:1 is the angel of the covenant, none other than our Lord Jesus Christ. But notice it's the angel of the covenant. There's a covenant involved with rainbows. God, the first time we see it is in Genesis chapter 9, I believe it is, when Noah, God gave a covenant through a rainbow that he would never destroy man again. But that covenant was also life to Noah. And we know the third pole speaks of life. I don't fully understand everything that took place. All I know is that God was confirming the same word. It doesn't matter what voice speaks it. It's one voice. There's one voice, and that's God's voice. And that's the voice of God to us, and that's God's word. So, but he says, three rainbows rising higher and higher until you were so numb all over, till you could hardly speak. Then walk close and hear him confirm, and speak and confirm the very message that you're preaching to be the truth. And from the breach, Brother Bramson, now we see that the seven sealed book now is a mystery of redemption. It's a book of redemption from God. Now all the mysteries at this time should be finished at the sounding of this messenger. And now, let me just say, because Brother Ram's referring to Revelation 10:1, but in this book I have back here, with 26 different translations, many of them say, you know, of course, you read in the King James Version, it says the rainbow was above his head, but many of the translations say the rainbow was around his head like a halo. And his face was, as it were, the sun. So these people actually saw a visualization of Revelation 10:1, the rainbow around his face as though it were the sun. And I don't know what that means. I wish I did. But all I know is that the same God who was showing the message and verifying the message that the prophet brought is still on the scene verifying that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That Jehovah of the Old Testament is Jesus of the New. He just changed his mask. The same pillar of fire that was over the children of Israel in the wilderness is the same pillar of fire that indwelt his son. It's the same pillar of fire that was seen over the prophet, his picture there. It's the same pillar of fire that was seen in those rainbows that Brother Branham saw, because Brother Branham called it another place. I'll show you some quotes today. We call that the pillar of fire. It's the same pillar of fire that these people saw in the form of that rainbow. Now, horizontal rainbows are not a natural occurrence. The brothers actually went to the local meteorologist at the weather station, and they asked him about it, and he said that's impossible to have a rainbow in the dry condition, especially at about 30 feet above the ground. Where you find horizontal rainbows, they call them rainbow fires or something like that, is where you have very high in the atmosphere, in cold weather, where the ice crystals are coming together and the sun is reflecting off of them, it is possible to have a horizontal rainbow, but it's more like 6,000 feet or higher up in the air. What they saw was about 30 feet up off the ground, and the same thing Brother Branham said, those rainbows were about 30 feet off the ground. So I can't believe that we would be deluded into seeing something that wasn't there, or all these people, 50 or more people that saw the thing, and all the people in the village that saw this thing take place would be deluded. I just don't. I mean, of course, people can be deluded, but let's face it. Why would God appear? He because he appeared over the church. He appeared to verify that what we've been going from country to country, doing as the Apostle Paul would do, is the truth. What does that make me? It just makes me one of his children, your brother. It doesn't make me any prophet. It doesn't make me anything outstanding. It just means that what we're teaching, what we're believing, is the same thing that the prophet taught us. You know, when you go around the world, as I have so many times, and I've actually made something like 42 trips around the world. 42, it's hard to believe. But that's the truth. And I've been to 54 countries, and many of them, as many as six times. And the thing is that we're teaching the same thing Brother Brown taught, and have God himself come down and verify, it makes you want to weep, to realize that his presence is still among us. You know, we've been holding on by faith to a word that the prophet said in the third Exodus. He said, the pillar of fire will lead us to the millennium. Well, I have heard, but now I see. And I tell you, it's something to be able to see, because Paul said, why would you yet hope for that which you see? So it's no longer a hope. It's a reality. We are living in the reality of the presence of God among his people. From the breach, Brother Brown said, now we see that the seven sealed book now is a mystery of redemption. It's a book of redemption from God. Now all of the mysteries at this time should be finished at the sounding of this messenger. Now here is the angel on earth, and another angel, mighty messenger, come down. See, this angel was an earthly angel, messenger, but here come down one from heaven, a rainbow covenant. See, only Christ it could be. So what did those people see? He said, only Christ it could be. Just exactly like it was in Revelation's first chapter, standing in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks with a rainbow to look upon as jasper and sardius stone. From Revelation chapter 4, part 2, 24 elders, Brother Branham said, notice, we're going to start back now and see where we're at. On the third verse yet, aren't we? Are we going to get it? I hope, all right. He was to look upon as jasper and sardius stone, and there was a rainbow about the throne in the sight, like unto an emerald yellowish green. Now rainbow, you notice it was a rainbow. Now let's go back to Genesis 9 and find out, Genesis 9:13, and we'll find out back there the rainbow, when a rainbow first appeared, Genesis 9th chapter, and we begin at the 13th verse, Genesis 9:13. All of you like this? Oh, I love it. I just don't like it. I love it. Look, I do set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be for a token. Now watch, a token of a covenant betwixt me and the earth. What? Between me and Noah? No. Betwixt me and the earth. And it shall come to pass when I bring a cloud over the earth that the bow shall be seen in the cloud, and I will remember my covenant which is betwixt me and you. Now we come back to his covenant between them, betwixt them, but the rainbow covenant, see, the covenant was life for Noah, that he spared him, but the covenant that God made with himself was a rainbow. Now he would not. Now I'll show you what Noah's covenant was with God in a minute. But this here was God's own covenant with himself. Amen. A rainbow. From souls in prison. See, look, it's not the vessel. Brother Vail has always said, get your eyes off the vessel. It's the Word. The same Word being preached. It doesn't matter what vessel it is. God's obligated to back that same Word up. From souls in prison, he said, notice it was to be the seventh angel's message. That was to reveal the seven seals, Revelation 10:7. Now you'll find it, see. And he saw this angel come down, put his foot on the land and sea. That was Christ, had a rainbow over his head. Now notice him. You'll find him in Revelation 1 again with the rainbow over his head. Look upon the jasper and sardius and so on. Here he come, put one hand on, one foot upon the land, one foot upon the water, raised up his hand. He had a rainbow over his head, yet that's a covenant. He was a covenant angel, which was Christ, made a little lower than the angels to suffer. There he come and put his hand upon the heaven and swore by him that lives forever and ever, the eternal one, the Father God, that time shall be no more when this take place. Now notice, he's a covenant angel. And we have a great covenant that we're speaking about, and that's the covenant with sons. Because God spoke and he said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. And God made a covenant with his Son. And before the foundations of the world, God made a covenant for us and with us. He said that we are predestinated unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ. He said that we're predestinated to be conformed to the image of the firstborn Son. So we're talking about a covenant God having a covenant with his children. From the first seal, Brother Brown said, let me read it again. It sounds so good to me. I like to read it. I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud. See, that's that cloud. And a rainbow was upon his head. And his face was as the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. Now, we saw the same thing, which was Christ. And we know Christ is always a messenger to the church, all right? He's called a pillar of fire, the angel of the covenant, and so forth. And he had in his little book opened. Now, the seals had done been broken here. We're breaking them now, but this the thing's opened. And he set his foot on the sea and on the and his left on the earth, and he cried a loud voice as when a lion roareth. And when he had cried, seven thunders uttered their voice. My, the complete. When the seven thunders had uttered their voice, I, John, was about to write. Write what? What they said. And I heard a voice from heaven, God, saying unto me, seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered and write them not. Don't write them, see. And the angel which I saw stand upon the sea lifted up his hands to heaven and swear by him that lives forever and ever, who created the heavens and the things in there they are, and the earth and the things that are therein, and the sea and things which are therein, that there should be time no longer. And from, is this the sign of the end, sir? He said, now listen, this angel come down from heaven. See, the other seven angels of the seven churches was earthly messengers. But this angel, all the message was is finished. The seventh angel winds up the whole thing. And this angel comes not to the earth. He isn't a man from the earth as the messengers to the church. That's finished. But this angel brings the next announcement. And an angel means a messenger. And he comes down from heaven clothed in that pillar of light, that cloud, with a rainbow over his head. And a rainbow is a covenant. And it was Christ. With one foot on the land and one foot on the sea. and swore that time shall be no more. And from stature of a perfect man. Notice all these quotes, Brother Brown, say the angel, that the rainbow represents a covenant. From stature of a perfect man, about 3 or 4 years ago, they called me down here at the hospital in New Albany. And there he was dying with cancer. Just eat him up. Doctors give him till the morning to live. And he said, he's dying. He said, come at once. And I went down to the room. And where I did, just stand there praying. And he said, Billy, there's a rainbow circling that corner yonder. And I turned and I looked and I said, Busty, it's a covenant. You're not going to die. The covenant of the blood saves you. I put my hands upon him and said, Lord God, by that vision yonder that proves that you're here, your covenant is, by his stripes we are healed. Laid hands upon him, and there he got well, sent him home. You see, if we walk in the light as he is in that light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. From show us the Father, he said, then I happened to look, and where the sun come out and the evergreens had frozen, that cold wind, there was a rainbow across the canyon. And I said, there he is in a rainbow. Amen. There he is. There's the covenant. He will never destroy it again with water. He promised it. And a rainbow also in Revelation 1 were over of the Son of God, and over the church, the 7 golden candlesticks was a rainbow. He was to look upon as jasper and sardis stone. The first and the last, he that which is and shall come. Oh my, oh my. Everywhere you look, you can see God. If you'll just open up your eyes and look around, he's everywhere. And from behold, a greater than Solomon is here, or greater than all is here. He says, you know, taste doesn't count in this. We might differ in organization or denomination, but God is a God of variety. God likes variety. He's not a Sears and Roebuck Harmony house. God is a variety. He's got big mountains, little mountains, white flowers, pink flowers, yellow flowers. He's a God of variety. He has little men and big men. He has a black head and red head and blondes and all different kinds. He has deserts. He has lakes. He has seas. See? He's a God of variety, and that's the same way it is here today. We're all God's servants, and after all, brethren, it is all. A rainbow represents a covenant, that's right. And we're in God's covenant, that's right. Together as brothers we stand. The Lord bless you, my brother, my fine brothers. And may your churches grow and prosper, and may God ever bless you richly and royally, is my sincere prayer. If I can ever be of help to you in any way, the night don't get too dark, nor the rain don't fall too hard, just call on me. I'd rather do everything I can to help. So Brother Branham again talking about the rainbow as a covenant. Now from Smyrna Church Age, he said, now, if you'll notice, the candlestick didn't set quite like that. They started down in this way and come up. Well, the highest one away from where he was standing was this one up here. And Christianity gradually smothered out as it went from where he was standing in the shape of the cross, as we'll see him in the 4th chapter, in the shape of the cross like this. And this was his right hand, which was his left hand. Now, right here, he had his hand on this church and on that church. He was both Alpha and Omega, and of course, all was in between too. All the others better, all the other letters, but he specifically said Alpha and Omega, had a rainbow over his head, which was his covenant. And from Revelation chapter 1, he said, and what did they do to Joseph? They pretended that he was dead, and they threw him into a ditch. Took a bloody coat of 7 colors that his father had given him. There's only 7 colors in the rainbow, and the rainbow, we know what that is. We get to this a little later, I think, tonight. The rainbow over him here, Jesus, where he's to look upon his jasper and sardis stone in a rainbow. And a rainbow is a covenant. And that was God's covenant upon Joseph. And then they, the blood, brought it on his coat and took it back to the Father, and he was supposed to be dead. But he was raised up out of the ditch and was put into a soul to Pharaoh, someone in Egypt, and a general kept him. And when they did, an ill thing come upon him and throwed him into jail. And there he prophesied and told 2 men who where one would go and where the other would, a butler and a baker, on account of their dreams. And then he was exalted from there to the right hand of Pharaoh, and no man could touch Pharaoh, only through Joseph. So Brother Branham is letting us know that rainbow covenant was upon him. That coat represented the rainbow covenant of God. From discernment of the Spirit, he said, and did you notice Jesus when he come? He was loved of the Father, and the Father gave Joseph a coat of many colors, a rainbow, a covenant. And the Father gave his son Jesus the covenant. And then the Jewish brothers hated him without a cause. They had no reason to hate him. He was spiritual, and he was God's word made manifest. He came to do the will of the Father. He came to fulfill the Scripture. He came to bring them peace, but they misunderstood him, and they hated him without a cause. They didn't stop to try to see what he was trying to achieve. They just judged him because that they didn't agree with him. They made, and he makes himself so-and-so, they say. He makes himself God. He was God. It was God in him. The Bible said God was in Christ manifesting himself to the world. He was the glory. He was the God of glory manifesting the glory of God. And from Jesus meeting with Joseph meeting his brethren, he said, now notice, there was the covenant. Christ was to look upon as jasper and sardis stone in Revelation. That was the breastplate, or the birthstone rather, from Reuben to Benjamin. That was a reflection of the sardis and jasper as they reflected together under the light of God, made the covenant around Christ, the rainbow. And what does it speak of? Reuben the oldest, Benjamin the youngest, from first to last. He was the one that was, which is, and shall come. The root, the offspring of David. He's a morning star. He's from A to Z, the Alpha and Omega, God's reflection from the beginning to the end of time. There he is, God's covenant with his people. And all these other things, Joseph, David, all the prophets, was just a reflection, amen, reflecting from the true seed from the Garden of Eden till the time that he should come the second time in glory to receive his people and his church. There is a beautiful, there it is, it's beautiful to look upon him. And from Joseph meeting his brethren, Brother Branham said, when God gave Noah the rainbow sign, the seven colors, it was a promise of a covenant one. God had made a covenant that he would destroy the world no more with water. And God's covenant was also carried over through Jacob into Joseph. Abraham was election and Isaac was justification. Israel was grace and Joseph was perfection. That was the only one that had the colors. We see Jesus sitting upon the throne with the colors, the rainbow around him. In Revelation 1, it was God's covenant with the people, Christ. Here it is. Oh, how I want you to see it. Christ is God's covenant with his people, not denomination, but Christ is God's covenant. As Joseph was so hated, so is Christ hated today. They don't want to say that they hate Christ, but their works prove what they do. They're against every move of him. They speak of his actions, his works, his marvelous doings. Why, sure, we have Satan at the camp too, battling away, certainly. And they'll point to the words of Satan, but I don't care what Satan does to try to confuse. God's word stands perfect, and his promise is perfect. I'll never want to take sides with that group from the inner veil. So about that time, I watched what he was looking at. There'd be a big old eagle forced down, one of the big old brown eagles we have there in the west. And he'd been forced under down under this. The winds had blown him in there, and that's what the squirrel was barking at. He jumped up and around, and there had been sweeping, and I looked over and seen that rainbow. And I said, oh God, listen at my heart pound where I hear that wolf holler yonder. There's something about it I love. And I said, looky there in the rainbow. God, it's your covenant. Right. You'll never destroy the world with water, but it'll be fire the next time. Oh, I could see Jesus standing in that Revelation 1, where he was looking at him, looking upon him as jasper and sardius stone, Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, Reuben and the younger and older, and all the rainbow around him, the covenant of his blood, that he would protect and keep that which God had committed to him. And I could see him there, and my heart pounding, and they thought that they had the Salvation Army up there. And I set my gun down the side of the tree, and I run around the tree screaming to the top of my voice to give vent to my feelings. Oh, just as loud as I could scream. I didn't care who heard me. Wasn't nobody to hear me anyhow. And I was just praising God. And if they'd seen me up there, I guess they'd have thought that I'd been out of the insane institution. I didn't care what they thought, who thought it, how my soul was bubbling for the glory of God. Just think, just seeing that rainbow. Hey, Brother Branham, just go, you know, hollering and screaming like that. So we see that this one in Revelation 10 that descended with a loud voice is God himself. Revelation 10:1, and I saw that mighty angel come down from heaven with clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head. And who does the rainbow belong to? It's called in the Old Testament God's bow, and it represents God's promises to man, God's covenant confirmed. So this one who comes down with a white wig has come to confirm his covenant with man. How beautiful. And his face was as it were the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. Notice in Psalm 104 and verse 1, bless the Lord, O my soul. O Lord my God, thou art very great. Thou art clothed with honor and majesty, who coverest thyself with light as with a garment, who stretcheth out the heavens like a curtain. And notice his feet are as pillars of fire. Then how appropriate that God would have his picture taken, where his feet were above the head of William Branham, prophet to the age. And therefore his feet are above us, and he has laid all things under the feet of Jesus, and we are all things in Christ. I see that pillar of fire laying there just above that meeting where we're at. And all things are laid at the feet of Jesus. And the Bible says His feet were as a pillar of fire. And that pillar of fire that stood over that congregation of ministers standing there, all things in Christ. You know, I just see the symbolism of what God was doing there. Now, if you also recall, God has set upon us in this hour His divine covenants. And we see in our study of this rainbow covenant, the trueness is represented by the color blue. If you all recall when we taught on the rainbow covenant of God in the Who's This Melchizedek series, we showed the different colors of the rainbow and what each one meant according to William Branham, prophet of God. And he said that the blue stood for trueness as represented by the blue color. But it takes the light upon the rain to bring into manifestation the rainbow. And when Brother Branham, there was rain when he saw his, but there wasn't any rain. So where was the rain to bring that rainbow into manifestation? He said, "My doctrine shall fall as the rain." And the doctrine was being taught in the church. And that's where the rainbow manifested itself above. I see the spiritual bringing forth the natural, whereas the natural brings forth the spiritual. You understand, Deuteronomy 29:29, "My doctrine shall fall as the rain." We were in the dry season there. There was no physical rain to bring forth this physical manifestation. But there was rain falling in that church. And it was the doctrine of Christ. Hallelujah. He says, "He that hath the doctrine of Christ hath God." And God proved it by coming and showing His presence with us in those meetings. It takes a light upon the rain to bring into manifestation the rainbow. And we know that the rainbow represents the covenant of God brought into manifestation by the light of His glorious presence. And when the light strikes the rain, the rainbow comes into view. And when the light strikes the doctrine of Christ, then all the divine promises of God concerning His Son come into view as well. In Deuteronomy, God tells us that His doctrine shall fall as the rain. So He likens His doctrine to the rain. Now you cannot have a rainbow without having light strike the rain. But in this case, it was in the dry season. There had to be rain. And thus, it was the doctrine of Christ. So light upon the doctrine will bring into manifestation all the divine promises of God to us in this hour. God's covenant comes into manifestation because of the light upon the doctrine, and it represents to us those who are walking in the light or the rain, which is His doctrine. In Revelation chapter 10, verse 1 to 3, it says, "And I saw a mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head and his face as it were the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. And he had in his hand a little book open. And he set his right foot upon the sea and his left foot upon the earth. And he cried with a loud voice as when a lion roareth. And when he had cried, seven thunders uttered their voices. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished as he hath declared to his servants, the prophets." The first thing I'd like to point out here is that the mystery of God will be finished when that scene unfolds. In other words, until this scene happens, God and Godhead will continue to be a mystery. But when this happens, then the mystery is done away. And Brother Branham said that the three rainbows that came down upon him confirmed his teaching on the Godhead. That Jehovah of the old is Jesus of the new. He just changed his form. And he entered into his Son. Secondly, the scene begins with the descent of the mighty angel who Brother Branham called the angel of the covenant, none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. From the message of the breach, he says, "And when the seals are broken," Revelation 5, "and the mystery is revealed, down comes the angel, the messenger Christ, setting his foot upon land and upon sea with a rainbow over his head." Now remember, the seventh angel is on earth at the time of this coming. And that happened with Brother Branham's ministry. Showing us the Father, from "show us the Father and it'll suffice," Brother Branham said, "and there is that moment rejoicing. I raised up my hands and I said, great Jehovah God, how marvelous you are. The great creator of heavens and earth, I see you in Revelations 1. Jesus sitting there with a rainbow over his head. He's to look upon his jasper and sardine stone, that's Benjamin and Reuben stone. First and the last, he that was, which is, and shall come, root and offspring of David, the morning star, the rose of Sharon, the lily of the valley, standing with his covenant, with the church, can't fail. The seven colors in the rainbow, the seven church ages, all blended together, make one great resurrection of the body of Christ. Oh my, something begin to breathe out in me. And you know what? If somebody would have come up in that hillside, they'd have thought that they had either a maniac or a Salvation Army up there. I was running around the tree screaming up to the top of my voice. It's a good thing that I was about 45 or 40 miles from civilization. I didn't care what people thought. I was worshiping the Lord. And if the elks wanted to look in, the bears, they could look on. That was all right. But I was just having a good time. You see, brother and sister, we got to be so focused that we don't care what kind of flack that we get. You know, it was that morning or the night before that I had gone before the church as a congregation. It was the first sermon that I preached. And the people were just jamming it up. And they had, for about an hour, maybe 2 hours, they just had music going bang, 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 bang. And they were just so full of, just so out of order. And so when I came forward to take the pulpit, I told them they ought to be ashamed of themselves. People just slumped over, tired, just exhausted because of their fanatical music. Just totally inappropriate in the house of God. What they were doing, just running around, shouting, screaming, and everything else before the Word of God came. What were they running around shouting about? The Word hadn't been presented yet. And so I told them, I said, if you want to know what kind of songs to sing before the Word comes, listen to the tapes, listen to the prophet of God. And in myself, and I know that every time I take this pulpit, I know it could be my last. God could take me home or the people could reject it and go, and I just had the four posts to preach to. And everywhere I go, I go with the same thought in my mind. Lord, if this be the only time, if this be the only service, because you never know when they're going to pull the rug out from under you. Just like we had in Zimbabwe, we had meetings on Saturday and the meetings went very well. And we had minister meeting. We were able to cover the doctrine of Christ. And but the meeting went so well before the people on Saturday afternoon that they were about 3/4 full. The next morning it was just jam packed. There was hundreds, just literally probably about 600 or more. And people were standing outside. They had heard what took place and talking about the relationship that we must have with our Father before we get our body changed. And so the people came expecting. So Sunday morning we had a tremendous meeting. The Holy Spirit was there. You could feel His presence. Many of the people told me they could really feel the presence of God come down. And but then what do they do? The men who had held the meeting, or who were hosting the meeting, they yanked the rug from under my feet, and they had two men come in to preach after me. And I was supposed to have the afternoon service and the evening service as well. And they had some guy preach a 20-minute service and have a three-hour altar call, shaking people and trying to pull the devil out of them by force. Totally Pentecostal. But I know their motive. Their motive was to use me to attract the people to come and the ministry that God has given me. And then once they got the people to come, the locals and everything else, then they could get more members into their church. And that's all it was about. In fact, they even told me, they said, well, we know brother so-and-so, just a young brother. And they said, well, we know that he is really gifted to talk to denominational people. So they revealed to me what their whole purpose was, and that wasn't to hear the Word of God. But many of the ministers, when they knew that I had dusted my feet, I left in Zimbabwe. I left a day early. I didn't stay for the last meetings. And I left, and I dusted my feet because the doctrine of Christ was rejected. And many of the ministers who had traveled from afar, they were very upset. They also left. And they let the pastors that were hosting the meeting know. And yet the thing of it was, I paid for those meetings. I paid for the tent that they used. I could have said, hey, look, brothers, I paid for these meetings, they're mine. But I didn't. The Spirit of God was rejected. I wasn't going to go to a pulpit where I wasn't welcome again. And yet if you hear the service, and you will because it'll be on the internet, you'll see that the Spirit of God was really with us. The Word was moving. The people were rejoicing. And then because they wanted to focus in on those denominational local people to build themselves a bigger church, they rejected, they turned down the Word. And I told them, I said, brothers, I said, look, God has sent me here to get a bride ready for a resurrection. You've got to have the Word. You've got to have the doctrine of Christ in order to make you to get ready. And what do they want? They don't care about that. It's just like when God told the when Brother Branham, a man wrote to Brother Branham, said, you know, Brother Branham, I'm married, I have three children. And he said, but my wife is not a believer. And she'd give me fits and she'd give me a lot of trouble. And and he said, so, you know, there's a sister in the church that says she's a fine Christian sister. And he said, I'd like to divorce my wife and marry her. And Brother Branham wrote back to the man. He said, listen, if you marry that woman, you will go to hell. And not only that, but you will bring her to hell. And not only that, but any children that you produce, they will go to hell. And you know what? The man married her anyway. The man married her anyway. Now let me tell you something. People are going to do what they are ordained to do. I was listening, I was reading actually Brother Branham in the message, Follow Me. He was talking to young children and kids that were just graduating from school out in Prescott, Arizona. And he said, now listen. He said, you see these kids running around like little Rickies. He said, and they're just running around, chasing after the world. He said, let me tell you something. He said, they're not going to change. He said, because they're doing what they're supposed to do, what's in them. That ought to be a stern warning to you children. You follow the Lord Jesus with all that you have. And remember, if you're not born again, you won't go in the resurrection and you won't go in the rapture. You lay aside everything, all your little games, your video games, everything else, until you know that you are filled with His Spirit. In fact, these video games are the biggest danger we have to the young children today. It's separating their right hemisphere from the left hemisphere in their brain. It's causing a dumbing down of this nation. And the young men are the dumbest that they've been in generations, and that's because of the video games. That's because of all the electronics. It's separating their hemispheres. They can't have a cry. They can't have a good weep before God because their emotions are just totally cut off from the rational side of their thinking. Now, we played the video from the doctor from Germany whose discovery was made. And we played for that for you some time ago on a Wednesday night, showing that the dissection of the brain and showing how the people are just dumbed down and they're becoming animal-like. Where the boys in the inner city, they'll kill another boy for his tennis shoes and there's no remorse. There's no compassion. There's no feelings. When they can just shoot somebody to death and just not feel, in fact, laugh at doing so. The world is going insane. Our best hope is to get out of here. Now from the seven church ages, Brother Branham said, now watch, when Jesus was standing with His hands out, here's a little thing I don't want to leave out to you. Hear it. Watch Him. He's standing in the midst, that's the middle of the seven golden candlesticks. Now, if I was standing here and the candlesticks arched around, here on my one hand is where I got it out, and here is another in the sign of a cross. Because it's through the cross that brought the church. And here He is standing and a rainbow over His head as a covenant. And I've made my covenant with the church through Abraham, through his seed, all that's called. So you see that the rainbow represents the attributes of God's life coming forth in an expression of colors out from the great living fountain of life, God in and before the beginning. The color represents specific portions of God's covenant with man and point out which attributes of God are represented in each specific color. We see that the colors in the rainbow covenant of God with man show the contract language each color represents. Because remember, the rainbow is a covenant. There's seven portions to that covenant. Seven contractual, what do you call each clause? Seven contractual clauses. We can see how that each color is actually a complete statement from God, as if each ribbon of color expressed a certain portion of the great contract between God and man. Then we can look into those colors as they are represented in the breastplate stones and see that the same covenant of God is with man. We can examine the stones and show their meanings and how each represents a tribe of Israel and the attributes of life each tribe represented. And finally, we can examine or we can see the relationship those breast stones had with the Urim and Thummim. And most scholars agree that the Urim and Thummim are best translated as light and perfection. But in the Vulgate, we also found that the Urim is translated as doctrine. Now think about that. The Urim and Thummim, the Urim is translated as doctrine, meaning teaching and instruction. Therefore, we see the perfect light, or rather the perfection light, or perfection doctrine, represents the relationship between these two stones and the stones of the breastplate of God, which represents His people. Finally, we find that the Hebrew words Urim and Thummim began with the first letter, and they close with the last letter of the Hebrew alphabet, representing the Alpha and Omega ministry of the Word. From Ephesians 5 in verse 13, but all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. So we can see that it takes light to manifest anything. Then if God is going to reveal His great plan for His seed, it takes light to manifest that plan. But we've got to have light to manifest. John 3:21 tells us, but he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. And yet here we find over in Africa that the light came to the children. Same with Brother Branham. The light came to him. But what do? We walk in that light as he is in that light. In 2 Timothy 1:10, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. And Brother Branham said from Revelation chapter 4, 2 and 24 elders, he said in 1 John 1 and 5 and verse 7, he said, God is light. John had an experience. He had seen him and knowed that he was light. Light, eternal light. Not cosmic light, not lamp light, electric light, sunlight, but eternal light. Oh, how I love him. God is light. And what else is needed to manifest the rainbow covenant, which is the token of God? It takes rain. We know that's the doctrine. The light must strike the rain. The light must strike the doctrine. And when it does, it brings forth the seven parts of the covenant. And what is the rain? The doctrine of Christ. There is, therefore, the whole plan of redemption and the roles of the Son of God in an expression of the Father. And those who are also, the roles which we have entered into as we further progress in the great covenant between God and man, our Father and ourselves. Thus fulfilling Revelation 5 and verse 10, and hath made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And 1 Peter 2 and 9 says, for you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into this marvelous light. And if we walk in that light, oh, what a marvelous light. As we walk in that light, as he is in that light, it brings us into fellowship with him. And it cleanses us from all sin. Now we know that the rainbow is the covenant of God. It is a great contract between God and his seed. And we also know that there are two things necessary to bring forth this covenant into manifestation. Therefore, we must have light, as Paul said in Ephesians. Now I hope you can see the different parts of the contract between God and his seed. Has been carefully laid out in the pattern of the colors in the rainbow, which was a token of his covenant, which is his covenant or promise to his seed. The contract begins with red, which refers to the love of God, which is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. It represents the blood of his dear Son. And that blood brought life to us. It moves into orange, which is a blending of the red, with the next primary color, yellow, and represents character, which comes by love, putting to trial and child training. Next, we have yellow, which is gold, which stands for deity and trial. And then we have green, which is blending of yellow and blue, and represents life. Brother Brown says, in the evergreen tree, it represents life. Next, we come to the last primary color, blue, which symbolizes trueness. And the colors are coming back full circle. Blue, which is the last primary color, begins to blend with red, the first primary color. And the alpha and omega coming together produces indigo, which is royalty, bringing us into our predestinated kings and priests as royalty, see? And then as the blend comes closer to the beginning red, it turns to violet, or purple, which is priesthood. So we have the blue turning to purple, or the indigo, which is royalty, turning into purple, which is priesthood. And that's what we are. The last colors in the rainbow represents where we're coming to, kings and priests. We are part of that rainbow. Hallelujah. Why? Because we're walking in the light. You see, if I have the projector on here, and I'm projecting on the wall, and just the light is coming, if you stand in the light, it's going to project you, your image. Hallelujah. So if you're walking in the light as he is in the light, there's a projection. And the last color is the indigo. And the purple represents where we're called to, kings and priests. Oh, it starts out with the blood of Christ. He moves into trueness, moves into life, moves into deity. And that deity taking over your bodies moves you into your predestinated position in the family of God as kings and priests. Amen. From Revelation chapter 4, 24 elders, he said, but when John saw him in this amber color, the amber color, he surrounded and covered around like a halo of amber color surrounding his being. See, one color, one God over all and through all and in all. But there are seven church ages. Then as we continue to look upon the colors of the rainbow, we see the color green, which represents life, given life, the evergreen always showing life. From Revelation chapter 4, 24 elders, he says, so we see him in the circle bow of green, amber color. This greenish, what does green represent? Life. Green is the evergreen, always stays green is life. What does it mean? That God has promised, as He took an oath back there in Genesis, that he would put the rainbow in the sky, that He would no more destroy this world by water. He also takes His oath and swears by Him that all the seed of Abraham He'll raise up, and this word will still stand all of its shaking judgments. And from Revelation chapter 4, 2 and 24 elders, He says, "See, the covenant was life for Noah, that He spared him. But the covenant that God made with Himself was a rainbow, that He would not." Now, I'll show you what Noah's covenant was with God in a minute, but this here was God's own covenant with Himself. Amen. It was a rainbow. And finally, from Revelation chapter 4, 2 and 24 elders, He said, "Noah's rainbow composed primarily of seven colors." Anybody knows the rainbow's got seven colors? Now, what are the colors? Now, remember, red, orange, yellow, green, blue, indigo, and violet. Now, if you notice seven, now watch, seven rainbows, seven colors, I mean, seven colored rainbow, that meant seven bows. Seven bows, seven churches reflecting seven lights, each light wrapped into the other one. It started off with red, after red come orange, which is reflection of red. After orange come yellow, which is red and orange mixed together makes yellow. This then green and blue makes black. Then come indigo, and then from indigo come violet, which is part of blue. Oh, hallelujah! Don't you see God in His seven colored rainbow, His covenant that He made, and a covenant that through seven church ages, the seven colors, He would save the earth. Notice in red equals love. Then orange, which is love, blended with trials, it makes character. Then after the yellow, the gold, which is the judge, we have green, which is life. Now, this is the center of the rainbow and the center of the color spectrum, and therefore represents the center of the universe, which also represents the presence of God Himself. Yellow equals trials, judge, and now into green, which represents life, the giver of life. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? Did not Abraham address the giver of life as the judge of all the earth when he was appealing for God to spare life down in Sodom? Anytime you have a covenant, there's usually several parts to that covenant. There is a part that personalizes the covenant between the two parties. Then there is agreement itself. And then there are the assurances of covenant and the penalties of the covenant is broken, etc. Well, God's rainbow is a material manifestation of all that He is and all that this covenant expresses to you and me. It is all written out in the rainbow. That is the book. That is the expression of the agreement, and He hangs it in the sky for all to see this agreement with His seed forever. The first of the lights to shine forth is given by love, red. Red symbolizes not only His love, but how that love is represented by blood. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, and without the shedding of blood there is no remission of sin. So red is their first color that we see in the rainbow, and that represents the Lamb slain before the foundations of the world, and that means whereby we are brought back into the fellowship with God. Now here's a thought I want you to think about. If the first color is red, which symbolizes the Lamb slain before the foundations of the world, and the last one is indigo and then goes into purple, which is kings and priests, that's us. Then when God was positioning His Son before the foundations of the world, placing Him positionally speaking, then God was positionally placing us to be conformed to the image of the firstborn, to become kings and priests. The beginning and the end, the Alpha and the Omega ministry of Jesus Christ. Here we are, and we're there. God confirming it with His rainbow covenant. I love that. I just love it. From Revelation chapter 4, 2 and 24 elders said, "Notice the colors of the Spirit of God, which was above the likeness of these four colors, was amber." Amber is yellowish green. Now watch, yellowish green, amber. Oh, He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's revealed Himself to Ezekiel in the midst of Ezekiel's vision. This light that we saw coming above the four living creatures was yellowish green. When it come to John, He appeared in the emerald, which is also yellowish green. He come now to the Revelator in yellowish green. He comes to us in yellowish green, the light. Walk in the light. He is the light. In Revelation 10, He comes as the angel of the covenant, the same covenant of restored life as given to Noah. But remember that covenant was given after the trial, the testing, the judgment. But Noah was given life and escaped all of that judgment. And yet the judge of all the earth was present. Now this is important to know when we look at the colors of the rainbow, because the colors of that covenant rainbow express the attributes of the covenant giver. And the rainbow is the expression of that covenant. The colors that each express a portion of that covenant to us. I believe we're coming on the judgments. The judgments of God are in the earth. Brother Brown said so. But brothers, sisters, We have a God who will take us over those judgments. Hallelujah. And He's vindicated to us. He's still with us. The pillar of fire is still leading us into the millennium. Into the millennium. And remember, Brother Branham said that the vessel God uses to manifest a portion of His word for the season becomes a manifested word for the hour. And Brother Branham manifested Malachi 4. He manifested Revelation 10 and Luke 17:30 and other scriptures. And yet we have another portion of word for this hour, that we are predestinated under the adoption of children by Jesus Christ. We are to be manifested sons of God, manifested, conformed to the image of the firstborn. So what manifested Jesus was His obedience to the Father. He said that you might know that I love my Father, I obey all His word, all His commandments. God has called for us to be manifested sons of God. And that covenant rainbow which began with the shedding of the blood, at the same time God manifested us to, He adopted us, or He predestined us to the adoption of children to be conformed to the image of the firstborn, because all that He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of the firstborn Son. Well, all that He foreknew, that's Ephesians 1. That's those that He predestined to the adoption of sons. At the same time, before the foundation of the world, He predestinated the bleeding, dying Lamb. Alpha has got to become Omega. The bleeding, dying Lamb, the first color red, that's the Alpha. That what began it. That's what gave us. That's what brought us into the become joint heirs with Christ. Because had He not died and given His life, He having already received 50% of the kingdom, He said, "My Father." He said, "The Father has given me all His power. All power is given unto me. All authority. All exousia." His name was as good as on the checkbook. God said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm pleased to dwell. Hear ye Him." God stepped out of the scene. As Brother Branham said, God stepped back. Now the Word was in His Son. And yet that Son, having received His inheritance, He had to die so that you and I might receive inheritance, that we might become kings and priests. The beginning and the end of the rainbow and all the promises in between. Hallelujah. When I see a rainbow, it just makes me want to just give God all the glory. To look at that compact of God, that contract, that covenant of sons. From Revelation chapter 4, 2 and 24, elders said, notice we're going to start back now and see where we're at. On the third verse yet, aren't we? Are we going to get it? I hope. All right. He was to look upon as jasper and sardius, and there was a rainbow above that throne. In the sight, like unto an emerald, yellowish green. Now rainbow, you'll notice it was a rainbow. Let's go back to Genesis 9, find 9:13, and we'll find out back there the rainbow, when a rainbow first appeared. Genesis 9 chapter, and we begin at 13th verse. Oh, I like this. I love it. I just don't like it. I love it. And he says, then Brother Brown goes on. I think we've read this already. Brother Brown goes on to talk about the covenant that God made with man. So we see God's rainbow is a material manifestation of all that He is and all that this covenant expresses to you and me. It is all written out in that rainbow. That is a book. That is the expression of the agreement. And He hangs it in the sky for all to see His agreement with His seed forever. The first of the lights to shine forth is given by love, which is red. Red symbolizes not only love, but how the love was represented by the shedding of the blood of His Son. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. And without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. And so red is the very first color we see in the rainbow, and that represents the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world, and the means whereby we are brought back into fellowship. And then God takes us to deity, takes us everlasting life, green, to judgment, which is the gold, and the character which is produced, which is the orange. Hallelujah. So the life of God, the character which comes through the trying of, and you know, as the Bible says, he that has suffered in the flesh ceases from sin. When you come near to death, brother, sister, you recognize you don't live your life anymore for yourself. You live every heartbeat for Him and for your brothers, because John said, how do you know that you love God? He said, you love your brothers who you can't see. And so by loving our brothers who we can't see, it shows that we love our God who we cannot see. And yet God made Himself visible to us. Let's just bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we're thankful, Lord, for showing us Your presence among us, that You're still leading us to the promised land. You're still leading us to the millennium. Father, we just pray for everyone in here and those that couldn't be here today. We just ask You, Lord, to help us live every heartbeat that we have, every breath that we take. May it be for Your glory. your doxa, your opinion, your values, and your judgment. May we not have our own opinions. May we not have our own values. May we not have our own judgment. But may we, as Jesus said, I come to do thy will, O God. For my meat, my energy, my strength is to do the will of him that sent me. Be with us, Father, as we depart this day. Thank you for this wonderful film that was put together, Lord, showing that your visible presence among us, that in the form of the pillar of fire, that rainbow, that covenant, witness of three rainbows, and showing that you came together to show a cup, that our cup runneth over, as David said, the cup of the everlasting covenant, O God, and then capped to showing headship is here. As your prophet said, the threefold manifestation of God in the church. God was over us, God was with us in your Son Jesus, and now God, your presence, your love, your God life is in us. Thank you, Father, and we pray that you would help us to be conformed to the image of the firstborn. Help us to be obedient sons. Help us to walk in the light as you are in that light. That it'll bring us together in fellowship, and that the blood of Jesus Christ will cleanse us from all sin. Father, I pray as your prophet did, knowing that you came down and you assured us, Lord, that what we're teaching is the truth. Then I pray by that same pillar of fire, that same rainbow covenant, that same rainbow presence. And I ask, Father, that you would give life to each of those here and those that couldn't be with us today. I ask that you would get us ready, Father, for the rapture, for the resurrection, for the third pull, for the gathering together of elect. For we ask these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Let's sing this song.
Lord, you are more precious than silver. Lord, you are more costly than gold. Lord, you are more beautiful than diamonds, and nothing I desire compares with you. Lord, you are more precious than silver. Lord, you are more costly than gold. Lord, you are more than diamond, and nothing I desire compares with you.
Now let's sing that song, If You Walk in the Light.